Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Tree Fredericksburg this morning. Ann Little is here. Mike Blashford is here this morning. Mike is on the board of Tree Fredericksburg. Mike, this is your first time here, so we got to get to know you for a second. Good morning. It's good to have you here.
Thank you.
So we just were talking. I mean, you work in the outdoors and in this heat that we're experiencing right now.
Yeah. So you know, the biggest thing is hydration. Make sure that you. You pre-hydrate and maybe go to bed early, really take care of your body, which is, similar to trees. You know, you're going to want to make sure they hydrate too.
Yeah, and we're going to get into all that of dealing with that. But I never thought of that, the part of, because we hear hydrate, but to talk about go to bed a little bit earlier and get some more sleep, let your body recover.
Yeah, it's all about that. You can't, you don't want to do something that puts you behind the eight ball because, you know, once you're losing, it's hard to catch back up.
Yeah. So the with you, and if you're working with trees, at least for a while, you're dealing with shade. But I guess you have to kind of on hot days decide how long you want to work.
Absolutely. Looking at the weather is really important. you know, maybe work a little bit shorter or try a little earlier. So, you know, at least I'm not a roofer. I do have some shade for a little bit.
Those roofers guys are tough.
Yeah. Tough guys.
I kind of feel bad having you here this morning because this is the kind of, you know, you can't start out early. You're here
okay.
for a while.
I got the guys started.
Okay.
So this is actually great. Thank you, Ted.
Okay, got you out of it. Ann Little is here this morning. Ann, it's always good to see you.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to see you. It's hot and it's humid and it's miserable out. But we started early this morning. My husband and I got up and walked at 5 a.m. So he was not happy. He doesn't like.
No, I guess, but again, you have to judge that when it's hot like this. You got to do it when you do it early morning, later at night.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that doesn't perspire, so I just kind of like get hot and fall over. So I have to be very careful.
So I learned something from you last week, and really I can always say I learn something from you all the time, but I learned last week because we were talking about watering plants, and I was always, whenever you see a plant that when the leaves start to turn, it means that they're too dry, but you were telling me that also can be from overwatering.
Almost all the time it's from overwatering, Ted. So trees will need to have their roots dry out slightly. They need to have oxygen. And if they don't get that, they all start turning brown and actually looking really like they're fading. And actually what they're doing is drowning. So that's why we talked about having that moisture meter that I showed you. And anybody can buy one of those at Amazon or the local hardware store. And we've had the same moisture meter that cost $10 for maybe 10 years. So it's a dollar a year. And it's a wonderful investment. So right now, it's been a lot of rain, but the soil can dry out very quickly. And the roots of all the plants are usually in the top 12 to 18 inches of the soil. So that dries out, and the roots then are kind of looking for moisture.
Yeah.
So we're going to take our moisture meter, check that tree before we water, and then when we do water, don't just water sprinkle for 5 minutes. That's actually the opposite of what you need to do. It's better to water for 15, 20, 25 minutes, and we say give it a 1 inch of water to a plant. And the way to do that is to put like a tuna fish can out, and when it gets full, then you know you've done the watering for the week. And then that allows the plant to absorb the water, and then it dries out again, and then there's a cycle that the plant needs to go. You want to add something to that, Mike?
Yeah, definitely. So watering grass or lawns is very different than trees, right? Grass they're smaller, so their roots are smaller, and they can handle that like frequent kind of shallow watering. Mm-hmm. But trees have bigger roots, and you want them to get used to having to kind of look for water to be, which is different than grass. The other thing I wanted to add was if you don't have a moisture meter and you don't mind getting dirty, sticking your hand in the ground is a good thing to do too. And can be really instructive from what's actually going on.
So you're then looking at to make sure you want the soil to be a little bit damp?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit damp. Like Ann said, most of the roots are looking for moisture and oxygen in the first couple inches. So if you stick your finger in the first couple inches and it's bone dry, probably need to water a little bit. But if it's really wet, probably not.
In these kind of conditions, is it better to water later in the day, or in the early evening, as opposed to 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
I'm sure you can get different answers with the wonderful internet, but I would say probably I would wait to a time you're not going to lose as much water to evaporation.
Evaporation, that's what I was wondering about.
I always water in the morning. I just figure I need a drink of water in the morning to kind of get my body going.
Yeah.
So I figure maybe the plants do, and that's just.
I like that.
That's just me kind of making that up. But yeah, in our yard, again, we have all native plants almost in our yard. So we don't do a lot of watering, and we have almost no bare ground. That's the other thing, is no bare ground, no bare soil, because that's going to send that soil into the river as it rains. But more importantly, it absorbs heat faster. And so the mulching is important, but the way you mulch is important. We've talked about this before, Ted. Having not too thick of a layer, a couple inches is fine. Try not to use shredded hardwood because it's got a lot of wax or lignum in it. Try to use something like Virginia fine pines, or if you're lucky to know an arborist like Mike, you can say, hey, I need some arborist chips. Mike brings them. He just brought us like 5-7 loads over to a park, and we had about 20 volunteers spread those on Saturday, and that's going to hold the moisture in. And if the soil is kind of moist, those baby roots get to keep growing and expanding, and that makes the canopy grow. So if you've got a little tiny tree out there and you don't put anything around it, it could sit there for 10-15 years. You notice the trees at shopping centers are about the same size year after year after year.
We see them around here.
Yep. So that's it.
Interesting. Okay. And don't make have volcanoes around here. Don't put Ann Little next to a mulch volcano.
Well, the reason is because if the mulch touches the trunk of the tree, it holds the moisture against that tree, and there's little breathing holes called lenticels in the trunk of the tree. And so how you used them when you had a mask when you had COVID and the moisture build up inside the mask? The same thing happens on the trunk of the tree. The moisture builds up because it's trapped between the trunk and the mulch, and then it starts to rot the tree.
That weakens
because
it.
That's not supposed to be wet. The trunk is supposed to stay dry at all times.
Last week, Mike, with all the rain we had, and did those for certain kinds of trees, with all that rain and the ground gets so wet, it can weaken trees. And we did see some trees come down last week,
right?
Because of all that rain.
Yeah, when the soil meets that field capacity and becomes too wet, then the roots can kind of let go with wind. So that is a risk with trees. Thankfully, as long as the water's moving through, you don't get the same kind of root death from lack of oxygen.
Right.
So it's kind of a combination of the rain and then usually some type of a wind event.
Yeah. Need to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about mosquitoes and some other things this morning. Tree Fredericksburg, our focus. We're going to talk about as we go along this morning the Tree Fredericksburg Fall Native Plant Festival and give you all the information on that. Mike Blashford and Ann Little here this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is at Tree Fredericksburg this morning. Ann Little and Mike Blashford here this morning from Tree Fredericksburg. TreeFredericksburg.org for all kinds of great information and information on the Fredericksburg Fall Native Plant Festival that we will get to in just a few minutes. But in talking a little bit about just the weather and everything, And the other thing I've always had trouble in my backyard is the mosquitoes. It's hard to sit out, and you have given me a path maybe to making my yard usable again in the summer.
Yeah, so I started, last year I started this about the middle of the summer. I found out about this, and it did help a little. But this year I started the 1st of May, and what it's called, it's a mosquito bucket. And it's just any vessel that will hold water.
Okay.
And you fill it up about halfway, and you grab a handful of grass. I don't have any grass, but my neighbor gave me a little bag of grass, or straw, or any vegetation, and you put it in there, and it'll start to ferment. And you let it go a couple of days, and then you get what's called a mosquito dunk, and they're for sale on Amazon or at the big box stores or any hardware store. And you just break it into pieces. So if you've got a small bucket, you only need to use an eighth or a quarter of that mosquito dunk. Once a month, you put it in there, and it's a chemical that will kill the mosquito eggs.
Yeah.
And the mosquitoes are drawn to that bucket because of the smell and the oxygenation that's given off of that. And so they're going to go there and lay their eggs. It's going to be like, hey, it's a perfect swamp. Somebody set a swamp up for me in this yard.
Yeah.
I'm going to it. And in our yard, we have three of them. And then we put a little stick in it that comes out of the bucket in case a native bee, for some reason, wanted to go get a little moisture and needs to crawl back out. He can't get back out. So that's it. And I'm obsessive compulsive. Nobody noticed that. So I painted my buckets dark green so they blend with my, and you can't see them. They will have a little bit of a smell because it'll smell a little swampy. So you might not want to put it right up against your bench that you're sitting. And Ted, you were out there with me over last Tuesday, and man, it was amazing. Not one mosquito came at us. And I was out on Sunday, for about 3-4 hours in the yard, not one mosquito.
None.
And usually I am hit constantly, and I get welts that are horrible. So, Mike, you've never heard of this, right?
No, actually, I did through the Bee City with Marion.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yes, so I love this idea. It's a really targeted control and helps to kind of keep the ecosystem balanced, because when you use other things, sometimes you can kill the beneficial insects. Because there's lots of, there's your pest insects, and then there's your good guys. Like ladybugs are typically good guys. And sometimes if you're going to use a broad spectrum kind of a spray, sometimes you can have some effects on those other good guys. So I think this is awesome.
Yeah, to spray your yard with a mosquito spray from a commercial thing, I mean, the commercial people are going to be mad at me. But honestly, it's not good. It's not. And they'll come. And my sister had this service about 3 years ago. She says, "Well, Ann, they told me it's all natural, and it's just not going to be it's going to be fine." But what it is it's pyrethrin, and pyrethrin in a lethal dose that will kill any flying insects is going to kill all of them.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is you're just killing the flying insects. This is taking care of the problem from start to finish. There's no eggs, there's no mosquitoes.
So it's better for pollinators.
Yeah, it's great for pollinators. I've got thousands of bees in my yards, and it's not affecting them at all.
Well, and you can use your yard again. That's what I mean. I love to sit out this time of year, but my wife is always complaining about, you know, mosquitoes getting her, and this will take care of that.
Yeah, the biggest problem is you've got to remember to put that mosquito dunk once a month into your buckets, because if you don't, then you're going to be just having a mosquito farm.
Yeah.
So where do we buy these?
I get them on, honestly, I know everybody's going to go Amazon, but, you know, what's the difference between buying from Amazon or buying from Home Depot? You're buying from a big corporation. So I get a great deal on Amazon. I get, they cost like, I don't know, about 75 cents each dunk.
Okay.
But, and then you break it into four, so you know, you maybe have, it costs just 30 cents, 40 cents a month to take care of your mosquitoes. It's a deal. It's a bargain. So if you have moving water, mosquitoes aren't attracted. Like if you have a fountain, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But mosquitoes are definitely attracted to this sucker.
Think we can put those in the canal?
I don't know.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Because, boy, yeah, you walk along the canal path. Yes.
You know how many you'd have to have for that?
Yeah. Just teasing.
But no, this is great. This is such good information. But we did a video last week, and it's posted on Facebook. But one of the other things that we spent a little bit of time talking about is when you're looking at different plants and things, just you can make your yard look really nice just with contrasts and look at some of the colors of some of these plants.
Oh yeah, right. So I mean, Mike's an arborist, so he looks at trees in a different way than I look at trees, because Mike looks for health and he looks for strength and he looks for problems in trees. I look at it also for the ornamental part of it. So when we first started planting trees in Fredericksburg back in 2008, the first thing I noticed that there was no color in our city. They were just, they only planted maples, crepe myrtles, and Bradford pears, which, yuck, all three we don't plant. Mm-hmm. Not that red maples are bad, but they're not a good street tree. So what we said was, let's get some color out here, and started to plant, cherries, red buds, fringe trees, everything that would kind of brighten your eye and just kind of give you a glad feeling that in the spring you've got some really beautiful color. And so I look at the same when I'm designing a yard. So I'm doing a design. I only do a couple a year now because it's too much work. I don't like to sit still at my desk. So I'm doing a design, and I'm trying to get elicit from the client what they want their yard to feel like and look like. But more importantly, you want to look at your yard with the idea that it's interesting. If you just stick a whole bunch of one thing in, it's boring. If you look at a lawn that's all grass, I know many people love the look of grass, but it's just boring. Mm-hmm. So you want to be able to bring in color and texture. And when you look at, a lot of people put a lot of annuals in their yards. And the problem with annuals is you have to plant them year after year. You have to water them. They're just not user-friendly as far as I'm concerned.
You told me last week friends don't let friends plant annuals.
They don't. And yeah, it's just kind of, if you put a perennial, it's going to come back. Mm-hmm. So I'm a lazy gardener. Now it's July, August. I once a week, either me or my husband, will go out in the yard for 45 minutes and pull all of the nasty vines, and that's it. That's all we do the entire summer. We don't have to water. We don't have to pull weeds. We don't have to worry about crabgrass because there's no bare soil. And that's what people want to aim for as far as I'm concerned.
Mike, in your work, I'll give you a chance to plug your business.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about your business.
Okay, so I work for a company in town, and it's called ArborCare. There's six of us. We are... we specialize in very technical work. Pruning is one of our main services. We also do removals, of course, because we are a tree company, and we do stump grinding as well. I also do some consulting. And so I just lost my train of thought there. Sorry, Ted. But
I'll jump in for a second. So Mike is also one of our tree stewards, which is phenomenal. So it's really great to have somebody that's in the ArborCare industry to come and work with us. So last week, I'm looking after all that rain. There was one of the small trees that we planted last year, and it was like all slumped over. And I said to Carl, I want to prune that. And Mike has trained us. He's given us, he teaches our tree steward class, and he trains us. But I didn't know what to do. So I called Mike. I said, hey, on your way home, can you go look at this tree? So I'll be right there. So he's amazing. He comes and he looks, and he takes the one branch off that was doing the wrong thing, and the tree straightened up. But I didn't know that. But he's an artist. He's an artist, and he knows what he's doing. I mean, he's got the scientific knowledge, but he also, pruning trees is an art. And he does that very well.
But it's also, I mean, what I love about tree work and working with trees is you're always learning something different. And really, it just hones your observing. Like, are you looking at what's around you? And all the time, I'm like, I can't believe I never saw that. So, because you get to see the tree and all the different seasons, and talking about what Anne was saying with design, like you can have plants that flower all different times of the year. And sometimes people are like, oh, I can't believe that's flowering in the winter. We have a problem. It's like, no, actually, that's supposed to do that. So you can get amazing design with like flowers all the time. And really just, I love tree work because it's complicated. It's simple.
Sure.
But there are principles, but then there's like just constant learning. And that's really what I
enjoy. Right, because you're looking at 50, 60, 70 different
always
species
something
of
new.
Trees.
Yeah, always
so
something new.
So each species has to be pruned differently because it has a different form, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the thing about it is that when I design so that I've got constant flowering in the yard the entire time. You don't see a huge profusion all at once, but every time you come from February on, there's something blooming, and I'm also looking for scent. I'm also looking for something that's going to give a great scent to the yard. So, but it takes a lot of time to do that. And that's the beauty of doing a garden, is that you're mm-hmm. thinking, you're feeling, it's feeding your soul, and it's feeding all of your senses.
When we talk about the strength of a tree, are there things that people should, I've got trees all around me.
Sure.
Are there things that, you know, as a homeowner that you want to look for in a tree and look at that and think that might be something we need to keep an eye on, or have somebody like you come and examine it?
Yeah, I mean, if you think that something needs to be looked at, then definitely like call a certified arborist, have them come take a look at your trees. But sometimes I tell my clients, you know, you live here. If you see something, let me know. You get to walk out your front door and look at your tree every day. I might not notice that, oh, that branch is actually drooping more than another one. But you do. So give me a call. So it's a team game. But you're looking for, are there cracks? Is there anything that changed?
Well, and we have Mike come once a year to our yard. We have 43 trees in our yard. So, and that's just the consulting. There's no consulting fee. He just comes, looks around the yard, and he'll say, here's what I think should be done. He'll give me a quote, and then my husband and I will decide whether or not that's going to happen. So that's the whole thing. Everybody can afford to have a certified arborist, and if they're coming to your yard and charging you, then tell them to go away, because that's now how it works. You want to have that person come that's a professional, they give you a quote, and then you think about it, and then you say, well, this is what I can afford.
That's probably a good idea too, to have somebody, if you could, especially if you've got a lot of trees, to have somebody take a look at it to see if there is a weak link or something there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think also the other thing is, you know, who are your friends using? If you're looking for a certified arborist, it's almost like looking for a doctor. Like, who's the doctor that you go to? Like, ask your friends, what kind of work are they doing? Are they happy with it? Don't just go with like the cheapest, or sometimes cheap tree work is a lot more expensive. So,
The two men and a chainsaw, not so much.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Mike Blushford, you said ArborCare.
Yes, sir.
You got a website or a best way to get a hold of it?
Yeah, so we have a website. It's ArborCareVA.com.
VA.com. ArborCareVA.com. Mike Blushford here. Ann Little here. Tree Fredericksburg, our focus. When we come back, we'll get into the Fredericksburg Native Plant Festival that's coming up at the end of September, and give you information on trees you can get. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Tree Fredericksburg this morning. Ann Little is here. Mike Blashford is here with Tree Fredericksburg. TreeFredericksburg.org is the website for all kinds of good information about the work that Tree Fredericksburg has been doing in the community for years and years. And Ann Little, we talk about this is now, you've been doing this now for a few years, the Native Plant Festival. It's in September. This is a big deal.
Yes, this year we're really putting it all together. So last year we had a lecture with Doug Tallamy, he's a big deal in the plant industry, at University of Mary Washington. And then a few weeks later, we had our tree giveaway, and we were able last year, because we had a wonderful grant, to actually give away about 5,000 native shrubs. Unfortunately, we have lost our federal grant this year for that, but we still have our grant to give away our trees. So we're giving away 3,500 native trees, about 20 different varieties. They're all in, well, some in 3 gallon and some in 1 gallon sizes. And if you had to go purchase these, Ted, they would run between $20 and $50 at the nurseries.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be selling at our cost the native shrubs at $11. And we have about 20 different varieties of those. And those are all listed on our website. And so the way this works is we will put up our shopping cart where you can reserve these trees and shrubs on August 6th if you live in 22401. So 22401 zip code gets first shot, and then a week later, the rest of the state gets to go ahead and get their trees and shrubs. You're limited to 5 free trees, but there's no limit on the shrubs. And I will tell you that when we did our seedling giveaway in the spring, we had 3,000 to give away, and they were gone in 48 hours. So don't hesitate.
Right. Oh, wow. August 6th is your key, because right. If you're in 22401, you can do it then, and then a week later, the rest of the state.
And we had people coming from Virginia Beach,
yeah.
Hampton Roads. We had people coming from Roanoke to pick up trees last year, because it's hard to find some of these native trees, especially, I mean, if you don't want just a maple or you don't want a redbud and you want something different, we're going to have pawpaws and persimmons and river birches and service berries, sourwood, witch hazels. I had to work hard to find witch hazels, but it's one of my favorite trees. Fringe trees, hornbeams, magnolias. So you can really come, and if you've got a yard and you go, well, I can't fit a tree in my yard. Remember, I've got a third of an acre in the city with a garage, and I've got 43 trees in my yard. But a lot of them are small trees,
mm-hmm.
and that's the trick. And you start them small, but you have seen the way things grow. You can get a tree growing in, what do you think, Mike, 3 or 4 feet in 1 year sometimes, right?
Yeah, I mean, they have the that magic saying, sleep, creep, leap, you know. So you put the tree in the ground, and it kind of gets itself oriented, and then it starts to grow. And then after a couple of years, yeah, you can get pretty good growth rate.
Yeah. So that's, and most of the trees in my yard started out as just, you know, 1 gallon or even seedlings. So that's what's really exciting. So we're going to have on that day, we're going to have first some guest lectures, 2 of them. Karen Tabacoli talked at our last event, and she's going to do Keystone Native Plants, which then talks about what are the most important things to have to build for pollinators, butterflies, bees, and so on. And then at 10:30, Alonzo Abigada is going to talk about birds, bugs, and berries. So from 9:30 to 11:30, we have the guest lectures, and those lecture tickets will be $20, and it's only going to be limited to 125 people. And then at 11:30, those 125 people get to get into the tree giveaway early. And okay. so there's the little bonus there. And then at 12, everybody else gets admitted to the festival. They can pick up their trees, pick up their shrubs. They had to pre-order them. And then we'll have for sale, there'll be sales of pollinator-friendly perennials and all kinds of wonderful native plants. There'll be lots of tabling. We're going to have workshops. Mike's going to do a workshop on pruning. Bartlett Tree Experts is going to do one on pests and diseases. I'm going to do a short talk on design, and we'll have some other lectures. And it's going to be a great day. And it's over at the Nat Stadium, the Fred Nat Stadium, 42 Jackie Robinson Way, and plenty of parking, and there'll be all kinds of fun.
This is a great way to get if you're looking for native plants, and True Fredericksburg in recent years you've had really an emphasis of trying to get people to plant native plants in this area.
Right. So I mean, if you're putting exotics in your yard, I mean, you can have a few exotics. You can have some from Japan, Korea, you know, all of those types of places, and China. Lots of beautiful plants come from there, but for the most part, our insects and our birds don't recognize them as food. You know, our birds are not looking for Chinese food. They're looking for American food. They're very specific. And same with the insects. They're looking to lay their eggs. Each butterfly can only lay its eggs on certain host plants. So a pawpaw has only certain butterflies that will lay its eggs on that pawpaw plant. And if you don't have caterpillars, you don't have butterflies. So you have to have the host plant. And so if you don't have these, you're not going to have your butterflies. Lots of people go, and I'm going to put a pollinator garden in. Well, you're not going to have any pollinators coming to your garden unless they're able to lay their eggs in the first place. You've got to start at the beginning.
It looked like you were going to jump in with something, Mike, or not. You had that look in your eye.
Well, I was just thinking that we're building a park for all of these things and connecting the yards together. And that was a big Doug Tallamy thing last year. Hmm. So if everybody puts a couple native plants in their yard and then all the yards are connected, suddenly you have a lot more ecosystem for these native things, and maybe we can get the birds to stick around and the food for them as well.
Right. So we never see hummingbirds in the city because they just don't have enough habitat for them to be able to do it. And it's so disconnected. So if you can, I'm always encouraging my neighbors on my block. Some of them don't want to have trees or any bushes in their yard because it's easier to take care of. But at the same time, it doesn't actually have any habitat. There's nothing eats grass except deer, and we don't have deer in the city, not last time I looked anyway. So yeah, it's kind of important to help kind of connect all of these habitat corridors.
And you've explained to me that when we've stood in your yard that to have all the trees, it gives birds cover. They're able to maneuver around in your yard and feel protected.
Oh, they have to have a hiding place. Yeah, birds that do not like to fly out in the open. And, you know, people think that there's all of this, you know, this group of birds that are flying over to one side of the city and then the other. Birds, insects, mosquitoes, pollinators stay within 50, 100 yards of where they start out. And then they're going to migrate in the fall as one big flock. But other than that, they're going to stay where there's food, habitat, nesting material, places to hide, and water. And so if you're going to provide all of those things, you have this amazing entertainment value going on in your yard at all times. So Mike's got 4 kids, and so he's got to have a yard for kids because he's got kids that want to kick balls around, basketball, that kind of stuff. But at the same time, he can put plants around his edges. He's not going to want his kids playing out in the backyard in the hot sun. They need some trees. Kids like to climb trees. Kids like to hide behind trees. They like to chase in bushes and stuff. If I watch the kids over at the park playing around, they're not out in the middle of the field. They're playing in the shrubs. They're digging around. They're moving the rocks. That's what they're doing. That's what kids like to do.
Yeah, and I mean, just thinking about the heat and talking about kids and shade and things like that, you know, trees really do create all of that shade. And people that, even people that say they don't like trees, like where are they parking in the parking lot? Or, you know, where
exactly
are they hanging out at, like, the brewing party? Like, it's in the shade. So I always, if somebody's like, I want to cut this tree down, sometimes I want to say, well, let's meet here in July around noon, and we'll sit under here and think about cutting this tree down. Because a lot of times trees aren't appreciated, but they are. You know, nobody likes a hot car. Everybody likes to park in that shady spot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, a lot of times it's like, I want my neighbor to cut their tree down, you know, because their leaves are coming on my yard or that kind of thing. But at the same time, they're depriving them of the quality of life. There's a quality of life that trees bring. And now it's been proven. The Washington government got together. There's a whole consortium of them. And they determined that a livable community needed 50% minimum canopy. 50%. We're around, right now in Fredericksburg, around 36%. We were 44%. Our canopy has gone down. That's the bad news. The good news is Tree Fredericksburg has planted 10,000 trees. That's 47% of the city trees on the city property. And there are a lot of them are still very small, and so they're going to grow, and they're going to be expanding. So we should see some growth in our canopy unless we start taking more trees down, which there's, you know, again, lots and lots of construction, lots of development that's always looking to do that.
But I think, too, like, this is a plug for the Native Plant Festival. There's a lot of different choices. So, like, if you don't like this particular tree, you know, we have evergreens, we have deciduous, you have trees that are more trashy. Like, river birch are great for water, but they're going to drop sticks all over the place. Oaks are wonderful for habitat, but they're going to drop acorns on everything. Sweet gums are great in the woods, maybe not in your lawn. So, like, because of the spiky little ball. So, like, there are lots of different choices. Just because you don't want that particular tree doesn't mean there's not another one for you. So come to the Native Plant Festival, see the ones we have, you know.
Well, and the other thing too, Mike, is just the workshops. Ann talked about you doing a pruning workshop, but to have, you know, some of these other workshops with pollinators, garden design, and others, this is a great chance to have a lot of experts there to talk to.
Absolutely. Share what do you want, because there's probably something that would fit with you.
Yeah, and when you go to our website, you can look up each one of these trees has got a link that will give you a full description.
Okay.
So you can go to the website, click on that tree, click on that shrub, it'll tell you. So yeah, if you're going to be, if you're a small yard, you may not want a New Jersey tea because that's going to get 6 feet tall maybe, or you might not need an indigo bush. But if you look at Meadow Sweet Spirea, that doesn't get very big. It gets maybe 3 feet. Smooth hydrangea. It blooms all summer. Gets about 3 feet tall. Sweet pepper bush. We've got wax myrtles get pretty big. But at the same time, the black chokeberry only gets about 3 feet tall. And then I've got 400 blueberry bushes. Nobody thinks about a blueberry bush as a native, but high bush blueberry is a native, and you get blueberries off of them. So, and I'm selling them for $11 each, and we ask people to, you know, I don't care. It can't be commercial. You can't come here and if you're a commercial guy, because, yeah, you can turn around and sell those for $25.
Right.
So I'm basically want to make sure that if you're buying some of our stuff, you're actually using it in your yard in Virginia. We don't want you to pick these up and go to California with them, okay?
The Tree Fredericksburg Fall Native Plant Festival is Sunday, September 28th from 9:30 until 3, treefredericksburg.org with all the information. When you go to that page, it will pop up and you can find out all kinds of information. treefredericksburg.org. Mike Blashford and Ann Little here this morning. We'll take one final break and wrap this up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
It is Tree Fredericksburg this morning. Ann Little is here. Mike Blashford is here from Tree Fredericksburg, treefredericksburg.org. Again, the Tree Fredericksburg Fall Native Plant Festival is on September the 28th. It's a Sunday from 9:30 until 3. August 6th, Ann, is the
people need to put on their calendar. August 6th is when the shopping cart goes live for zip code 22401, and then August 15th for the rest of the state. And the best way to do it is to make sure that you're signed up to get my emails from Tree Fredericksburg. So you just go to our website and just sign up to get our emails, and then I'm going to be sending a bunch of them out over the next couple of months, and basically just a couple days before August 6th, I'll say, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
Get yourself ready. Get your order ready. And then you're going to be able to log on to our shopping cart and get your order in. And hopefully we don't overload the system like we did last year, but we'll see how that goes. But that's the key, is to get your reservation in beforehand, because if you come to the event on August 28th or September 28th, everything's already spoken for. But there will be perennials for sale there.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, so there's a possibility that I won't be sold out, but I won't promise you that.
It usually does. So again, remember August the 6th. Be ready for that if you're in 2241. The 15th if you're your other places. But go to treefredericksburg.org and sign up so you get the
messages. There's always people that don't pick up their free trees. So each household can get up to 5 free trees. So somebody gets sick, somebody doesn't show up, whatever. At the end of the festival at 3:00, anything that's left over, we have a lottery and giveaway. You know, we've got 50 people in the lottery, and we've got 100 trees. They each get 2 trees. So I try to make it fair that everybody gets something and goes home with something. But that's the only way that there'll be any leftover trees, that we would do it that way. So
it's a great event, and everything that Tree Fredericksburg does, whether it's these kinds of events or plantings and things, you've made such a difference in the community.
And it's rain or shine, Ted, I want to say that. Unless it's we did 2 years ago?
It was a hurricane or
we
something.
We had a hurricane.
It was, yeah.
That was amazing.
That'll get
That's
you.
Different.
Yeah, but you know, it's real fun to I want to just say something about Mike, because he comes to my yard. I have a pine tree that's almost 100 feet tall. And Michael go up to the top, he climbs trees. I mean, this isn't just, he stands on the ground and looks at your trees and takes a saw. His guys are up 80 feet in that pine tree, but they're safe. And that's the real key to any good arborist, is they have a tremendous safety record. And don't you have some kind of climbing competition that you guys do?
Yeah, so that's actually a really fun part of our company. Everybody has competed. There's a chapter for the International Society of Arboriculture. There's a chapter competition. If you win that, then they pay your way to go wherever the international competition is. And this year it's in New Zealand. And two of my guys, the owner, James Earhart, and one of my guys, Blaine Bledsoe, are going to New Zealand. So shout out to you guys. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll follow that. Well, I'll get more information from you.
Yeah, that's cool.
For that. That's it's a great thing. Again, Fredericksburg Native Plant Festival on Sunday, the 28th, September 28th, from 9:30 until 3. Go to treefredericksburg.org. Sign up so you get Ann's updates on this, because you're going to want to be ready to sign up for some of these and just take a look at what you offer and get all that information.
It's exciting, Ted. We're real excited.
Good stuff, Mike. Great to meet you. And stay safe on those trees. And good information, though.
Thank you, Ted. I really enjoyed it.
Just because of what we're looking at, as far as just, you know, we've got trees around us, and make sure you're safe and you've got the right things. And we've got, I'm ready for mosquitoes. Thanks to you, Ann Little. Thank you both. TreeFredericksburg.org. Thanks for what you do.
Good to see you.
Mike Blashford and Ann Little from Tree Fredericksburg. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.